I don't have a particular passage of scripture to have you turn to right off from the start. We'll look at some different scriptures. But in Micah chapter 2 this morning, where we dealt with the ancient Israelites who were in denial about their sin. And by the way, that's really the human default position, to be in denial about our sin. You know, it's like the little cartoon, Family Circus cartoon. Not me, who did this? Not all the kids, not me. That's typical human nature, right? To be in denial. Obviously, being in denial prevents repentance. I want to talk about repentance today because that's what those ancient Israelites failed to do. When confronted, when that divine initiation of conviction and the convincement of God's word was presented, they refused. Their human reaction was they rejected that and they would not repent. That's really the vast majority of the way that people on this earth exist every day of their lives. Think about it. The vast majority of humanity exist in this very way. They refuse to repent, even though they know. And you know what? No one's with excuse, right? The Bible says, no matter where they live on this planet, no one has an excuse, because the very heavens cry out the glory of God and reveal his person and his power. And so there is no excuse. No one, however, ever repents without Holy Spirit conviction. No one will ever repent without Holy Spirit conviction. A conviction that convinces that individual, that person, of their personal sin based on the truth of the Word of God. What I'd like to do is just take the time that we have this afternoon and answer the question, what does it mean to repent? And I'm thinking along the lines of a person repenting to be saved, okay? A salvation repentance. That's what I'm thinking of. And so I want to begin by giving a definition, a biblical definition, of the word as it's used in the Bible, repent or repentance. But before we do, let's once again pray. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we can come before you because you've brought us to repentance. We thank you for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that convinces us of the truth of God's word. And we bow in our hearts in reverence before you and we say, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. And as a result, a wonderful change takes place. And we do pray that you would help us to clearly understand what the biblical meaning of repent or repentance is in the Bible as it pertains to salvation in particular. That we would not be confused about this because this is very important as we witness to others especially. So Lord, we just ask that in everything we would point to you and that you would be pleased and that you would be praised. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. And I think it is very important that we understand this word repentance as it pertains to salvation, because there are two extremes here. There is an extreme where there is too little emphasis placed upon this very thing. And it leads to what is called easy believism, where people simply say some words or pray a prayer and they're said, okay, you're saved. The other extreme is that it's people are pushed to the point where you have to turn from your sin or you can't be saved. And that's a misunderstanding of what repentance is. So let's see what the word itself actually means. Talk about the definition of the word repent. Primarily, it means to change one's mind. And since the Holy Spirit convinces the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment, as John 16:8 says, then the changing of the mind must be in regard to those three things, those three truths. To repent is to change one's mind about sin, about your sin, to change one's mind about one's sin. Secondly, to change one's mind about their need for the righteousness of Jesus. And also, to change one's mind about the judgment that I'm under if I don't change my mind and receive Christ's righteousness in my life. Okay, so that's just a brief definition. But we'll look at it from different perspective and I think get even a better understanding of it. To change one's mind, when we talk about, if that's what repentance means, literally, then we're talking about perception. The word repent is actually a compound word in the original language. It is the word meta, M-E-T-A, that means after. And it is the word noeo, which is a word that means to perceive. And the word neeo, meaning to perceive or to think, comes from the noun form nous, N-O-U-S, which is the Greek word for the mind. Okay? So the mind or the way of thinking. To repent is to change one's mind or to change one's way of thinking. And that's the central issue in repentance. It's a person's way of thinking. Every human being has a belief system. They have their own way of thinking. And that's revealed by what that person perceives as absolute truth. It's the kind of thinking that reveals what, in what or in whom you place your dependence. Your way of thinking reveals what you're depending on, your object of dependence. Here's another way of looking at it. Trying to figure out what the Bible means about when it says to repent. It's a transformation. As that familiar word, metamorphosis, is that a familiar word to you? Metamorphosis? What do you think of when you think of metamorphosis? Okay. Caterpillar to butterfly? Yeah. Yeah. The word metamorphosis denotes a change in form. The word repentance, actually the noun form of it, metanoia, it describes a change of mind or a change of thinking or way of thinking. So repentance is to change one's mind. It is a person exchanging one object of their dependence to embrace a new way of thinking, a new belief system in exchange for their previous one, whatever that might be, to exchange one's former dependence, which was on something that was false. It could have been on a false god. It could have been on your own self-righteousness. Or it could be atheism, or it could be agnosticism, which is very close to atheism, which basically, atheism, they say there is no God, and agnostic says, well, there might be, but I don't know. whatever it could be, a belief system that is hedonism, that is just living for the day and living up and pleasing yourself, or any combination of those things, to abandon the wrong object of dependence by casting all your dependence upon Christ. That's what repentance is. Repentance is abandoning all other objects of dependence and depending on Jesus alone. Yeah.
Did you say that sanctification is a metamorphosis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we're talking right now about salvation. But sanctification is also. It's an aspect of it. Absolutely. So this matter of repentance is actually a transformation. It's transforming a person's way of thinking, and that leads to a transformed way of living. Okay? It leads to it. Here's another thing. There is a connection, very clear connection, very close connection, between repentance and faith. They are not two separate things. Repentance and faith are not two separate steps to salvation, but they are two different emphases to that one decision, which is Christ. You might say that repentance and faith are two different sides of the same theological coin. They go together. You can't separate those two. And so that has to be understood. To believe is to depend. To believe and faith are the same thing. Believe, faith, and trust. They all mean the same thing. They mean to transfer your dependence, to believe the gospel, or to believe Jesus, is to transfer your dependence from whatever else you were depending upon to him alone. Okay? To believe means to transfer your dependence. To repent means to change your thinking. Now, I'm not trying to confuse you. And I know that, you know, you've had a sandwich, chips, you're feeling kind of, I know the feeling. It doesn't matter who's preaching. It could be David Barker, or it could be Morris Gleiser. But I know the feeling at lunch, after lunch, sitting there and having my eyes feel happy. We're all made of the same stuff. But I'm not trying to make this difficult. To change your thinking parallels transferring your dependence. So repentance and faith go together. If faith or belief is to transfer your dependence and repentance is to change your thinking, then they're parallel. It's two emphases toward one decision for salvation. They're used in parallel. Let me give you a couple examples. You can turn if you want to, but you don't have to. I'm going to turn, first of all, to Acts chapter 11. This is where Peter is giving a report to the church in Jerusalem after he had that wonderful, I call it a little Pentecost, there in the household of Cornelius. And so now he's given an account of that. And they're leery of this. They're wary of this because they're, you know, what happened there? And so he recounts what happened. And he said in verse 15, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning," meaning on the day of Pentecost. That's why I call it a little Pentecost. "The same thing that happened to us on the day of Pentecost," Peter said, "happened to those in Cornelius' household." How many people were in that household? I don't know. He was a captain, a centurion in the Roman army. And he had probably a vast household, not only his immediate family, but a lot of servants and men under him. He said, that's what happened. And he said, and then when that happened, I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized indeed with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now listen to these next two verses. For as much then as God gave the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Listen to this. When they heard these things, they held their peace, and they glorified God, saying, then God hath also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You see the parallel there? In verse 17, they believed on the Lord, Peter said. And then the church in Jerusalem, the leaders, they concluded, okay, then God granted them repentance unto life. So it's they are two emphases to one decision. There's another example of it. There's many, many I could go to, and I don't have time. But in Paul's message on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, he ends it by saying in verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What was the result of that message? Verse 34, however, certain men clave unto him and believed. So to repent and believe equal that one decision, salvation. At one time or another, either the term believe or repent is used without the other term, because they're essentially the same concept. To believe is to repent. To repent is to believe. One term infers the other. In fact, if you've read the Gospel of John, 21 chapters, he ends that whole book in chapter, it goes in chapter 20, the last verse of that chapter. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe. You'll, in those 21 chapters, never find John saying, repent. Now, the other gospel writers use the word. You won't find the word repent or repentance in John's gospel, but you'll find the word believe over and over again. So, repentance must be in vital oneness with belief, with faith. If that wasn't the case, then Jesus messed up when he was witnessing to Nicodemus because he didn't tell him to repent, but he told him to believe. And no one would be saved then by reading or knowing John 3:16, the most famous verse for salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, doesn't say repents, but believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why doesn't it say that? Because these are terms that are essentially the same concept. Or Paul messed up when that Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So repentance is in vital oneness with faith or belief. And we have to understand this, that repentance and faith are the same essence. They're essentially the same thing. To change one's thinking is to transfer one's dependence, okay? Two in essence, repentance and faith, repentance and faith, two different emphases. Repentance means to transfer your dependence from one thing to another, and faith means to depend, of course, on Christ. Often the gospel writers, when Jesus comes on the scene, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, it says that Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, here's the confusion. I'm almost done with what I wanted to share, and then we'll have some time to discuss. Here's the confusion. When you define repentance as turning from sin, that's very confusing. And it's also misleading, because it suggests in order to get saved, you got to stop sinning. And that's something that no one can do on their own. It gives the idea, if you think that repentance, or you tell people that repentance is you gotta turn from your sin, you gotta stop sinning, then it gives the idea of self-reformation and doing good or doing better. And the natural tendency of human beings is to depend upon yourself anyway. And so if you tell people to stop sinning, they're naturally going to depend upon themselves to do that, or to try to do that. It gives the rise, if you tell people that repentance means you have to turn from your sin, it gives rise to the thinking that salvation is by works. And of course, we would totally disagree from that, with that. So it is a turning. I will not deny that. But rather than turning from sin, repentance is a turning to God. And I like the way it's put in, I think it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, or actually 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where Paul is commending the Thessalonian church. And here's what he says. He said, "From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." See that? I think that order is very important to understand. It's not that they turned from sin, but they turned to God. That's what biblical repentance is. They changed their mind about sin. They changed their mind and realized they needed Christ's righteousness in order to escape the judgment. They exchanged their former dependence on idols and transferred their dependence to Christ alone. So it's turning in trust to Christ alone as Savior. That is the essence of faith, and that's the meaning of repentance. Did you know it's the same concept, as Ed said, for spiritual growth? Same concept as salvation. You want to grow once you're saved? Same thing. In fact, listen to this. This is Colossians and Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to pick it up in the fifth verse. Here's what he says. "For though I be absent in the flesh," that is in person, "yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," that is the way you were saved, "so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Again, that very same thought, how we continue in our Christian life, is in chapter 3 of Galatians. He says in verse 2, "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And so what he is telling us here is salvation deals with what we receive, and spiritual growth, it deals with what we do, with what we've been given, with what we've received. You might say that salvation is the platform or the stage for spiritual growth that God provides. But both of them, they're lived the same way. They are ours the same way, on the basis, on the access of faith in him. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him.